The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2022, Living Liberation, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, you can visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Hello everyone, my name is Anjan. I hope you're having an amazing Libra Planet so far. Today I will be presenting SXMO, which is the mobile interface that I maintain with Peter, Martin, and Stacy. We're going to start off this presentation by discussing software freedom and how it fits into the mobile ecosystem, and that is the reason why we developed SXMO. And then we'll move on to some demos, which will show you guys how SXMO allows users to more fully engage with this philosophy and incorporate it more into their lives. So let's start off with the current state of the mobile ecosystem. There's Apple's iOS and Google's Android. So these two ecosystems form a duopoly in which users have to basically deal with the same market forces that create the constant need to buy a new phone, as well as no expectation of privacy. And users are, of course, addicted to their phones. So the first quote is from Tim Cook, where he says, if you can afford a nice coffee, you can buy a $1,000 phone. Buying a $1,000 phone every single year is absurd, not only because Apple still has terrible conditions for its workers, alongside the fact that buying a new phone every single year is not sustainable for the planet. So the second quote is from Eric Schmidt, who was the CEO of Google, and he said, if you have something you don't want anyone to know, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. When CNET published Eric Schmidt's neighborhood, his hobbies, and his political donations, Google blackballed CNET. And of course, Eric Schmidt didn't consider not having hobbies or political opinions or, you know, just not living in a neighborhood. So I want to throw these quotes up there because I want to show that these are by design. Like the CEOs, they don't beat around the bush about these. These are expected design, we would say flaws, but for them, their design objectives when creating these devices. And then, of course, users are addicted to their phones because of the massive corporate surveillance that encourages users to constantly stay on their phones, to constantly be updated alongside dark patterns. Okay, so we've described the symptoms of the problem, but now what we need to do is analyze the system so that we don't replicate the system and come to the same conclusion that Apple and Google came to. What do we propose? We propose universal software freedom. So what free software activists want is every user to have the four freedoms. Freedom zero is to run the program as you wish for any purpose. And freedom one is to study how the program works and change it so it does your computing as you wish. And of course, access to source code is a precondition for this. Now with freedom zero and one, what you have is individual control. But individual control is not enough because a modern operating system has thousands of programs. In order to remedy the huge cost it would take for an individual to inspect each program and make sure it does ethical computing for them, we need collective control. So that is freedoms two and three. Freedom two is to redistribute copies so you can help others. And freedom three is distribute your modified copies. So, for example, Apple had that huge campaign about privacy and how what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone. And why did they start that campaign in the first place? Well, the FBI came to Apple and they asked for a backdoor in the encryption. Apple went to fight for it and they got huge publicity for it. But the issue is, why did Apple have that access in the first place? Why did they have that authority over everyone's iPhones in the first place? Now, if you recall, Steve Jobs published this manifesto, basically, of being anti-digital restrictions management, which would allow Apple to delete copies of media off people's phones and computers and stuff. And today, Apple is one of the biggest offenders of deleting media, like having digital restrictions management, and they flip-flopped on that. So it's not sufficient to have a promise from a corporation which is bound to its stakeholders. If we want freedom to be preserved in the digital era, what we need is software freedom for all users. So for example, if the FBI came to me and said, we need a backdoor in SXMO, I don't have ultimate authority over people's phones. The users can access freedoms 2 and 3 collectively and freedom 0 and 1 if they are a programmer to ensure that their computing is ethical. So let's get into the technical overview of the replacement we are developing. Our distribution of choice is Postmarket OS, although SXMO is packaged for other distributions. Our window manager on Wayland is Sway with menus in vMenu, and on Xorg we use DWM with menus in dMenu. Our radios are handled via modem manager and network manager. Network manager handles mobile data as well as other hotspot stuff, and modem manager of course handles texts and calling. SXMO also has a number of internally developed utilities such as MNC, which finds the seconds to the next cron job written in Go, ListGD, gesture system written in C, and our on-screen keyboards both written in C. Once all these programs are on the phone, we have SXMO utils, which is basically a bunch of POSIX shell scripts that create all these menus and handle the configuration. And these tools sort of glue together all of the internal tools as well as the external tools to make them work together to create a cohesive mobile interface. So here are the principles guiding SXMO's development. First of all, we aim for a simple system. This should be a system in which the user can understand it within an afternoon, and then as a result, they can extend it to have whichever feature they want and truly get control of their phone. And finally, we want to reuse tools that users are already familiar with. This should help encourage the adoption of GNU Linux phones. So how do we get SXMO onto people's phones? Well, we use this project called Postmarket OS. Postmarket OS is a software distribution, and it is aiming for a 10-year life cycle on smartphones. In a society that constantly encourages more and more consumption, Postmarket OS represents the best the free software philosophy has to offer in going completely against the goals that we see everyone saying, no, this is needed. And this is the only way the world can work. So this is from the original post by Oliver Smith. And basically he says, minimalistic GNU Linux distributions run fine on 10-year-old PCs. So let's just run GNU Linux distributions on phones. I'm here at LibrePlanet. A lot of you guys will have laptops that run GNU Linux, and they're usually very old, like 10 years old. I run 10-year-old ThinkPad as my daily driver, and it runs fine. I can chat, I can do web browsing, I can do the normal things that you would expect out of a computer. And another point I want to make from this blog post is Android consistently mistreats its users because users are not empowered to exercise the four freedoms. Okay, so to elaborate on my last point, let's start off with how the Linux kernel works on Android. What Android manufacturers do is they take the Linux kernel and they make an instantly incompatible version with every new phone release. So every phone has a different Linux kernel that is not developed with the community, and it's fork and immediately incompatible with the one that's developed by the community. So a couple of years pass, like 1 or 2 years, and they stop giving security updates to this. Now, you can continue using the device after those 2 years have passed, but then you're vulnerable to a bunch of security issues, like, for example, stage fright, which made 1 billion Android devices vulnerable. The Linux kernel is GPLv2. So what PostMarket OS does is they take that forked kernel, that incompatible kernel, and they figure out how the device works using that source code, and then they upstream patches or make it work with the kernel that is developed by the community. And Caleb, PostMarket OS developer, did a great talk at FOSDEM 2022 about this, called From Android to Mainline on the Snapdragon 845. So I recommend that you listen to that if you want to learn more about that. To fit into this, into the wider free software ecosystem, Bradley Kuhn has this talk called Preventing the IoT Dystopia with Copyleft. And he highlights a number of projects that were brought into existence because of the GPL. So he highlights OpenWRT and SammyGo. SammyGo was a project that allows people to load alternative firmware onto their Samsung TVs. And what he suggests is the GPL is not a magic pixie dust, right? You need to request GPL sources for every device you own, try to build and install it, your rights as per the GPL. And if it can't build or install, you should contact Conservancy and ask them for help, right? Because it's a GPL violation. And he says every single type of device needs alternative firmware project. So for example, with OpenWRT, which is a router firmware, we have lots of plugins for VPN services, privacy protecting services, own cloud type services. And I can run OpenWRT on old routers that have literally been around for forever and keep them out of the landfills. I can buy a $10 router off eBay and it works great, rather than buying a vulnerable router from the store and never getting security updates. So the key here is to exercise our freedoms as per the GPL, and PostMarket OS actively encourages that in its development.
SXMO is not the only user interface on PostMarket OS. In the middle there, we have Plasma Mobile, and then on the far right, we have Fosh. As you can see, Plasma Mobile and Fosh are very similar to Android, which is on the far left. And Plasma Mobile and Fosh, both free software, both amazing projects, and they're looking to bring Android users to GNU Linux Mobile and bring them to free software. But with SXMO, what we try to do is build something for hackers. So if you're on SXMO and you press volume up or swipe down from the top to bottom when nothing is open, you'll be presented with our app menu. Now, all the options and all the commands that are run are put in POSIX shell. So here, these network options and the commands that get run when you press the buttons on this network option menu, they are written in POSIX shell, and it's just running NMCLI commands. So here is Firefox in PostMarket OS. By default, uBlock Origin is installed. The default search engine is DuckDuckGo, and it changes a bunch of things in the about config to make it more privacy friendly. But what I want to present is the context menu. So now, since I have Firefox open, if I press volume up or I swipe down from the top to the bottom, I will be presented with the context menu for Firefox. So this context menu is community sourced, and of course it's written in POSIX shell, which makes it easily hackable. All menus that are in bMenu and dMenu can be interacted with the hardware buttons. So you can use the volume rocker to move up and down, and then press the power button to confirm your choice. So I have opened a tab with Firefox using the context menu. So other things you would expect from a phone just work. For example, the camera via megapixels works just fine. And in Wayland, the performance is quite good for such an anemic device such as a PinePhone. So of course, you saw my keyboard attachment in the last video, and that basically allows me to use apps like Emacs inside of SXMO very nicely. And moreover, I can bind my user scripts, such as my music script, to key bindings. So here I'm running MusicPD, which allows me to control MPD via bMenu. So that's the other nice thing about this bMenu POSIX shell coming together, is that it allows users to very easily write free software interfaces for their mobile devices. Like Music PD was written by Stacy, and it's about 200 lines, and I'm sure it took her about 15 to 30 minutes to write.
The latest version of SXMO has a new power management script. What this power management script will do is before it goes to sleep, it will look at your cron tab, and it will calculate how many seconds until the next cron job has to run, and when it'll go to sleep, and then right before the cron job has to run, it'll wake up and make sure the cron is awake for that cron job running. Also, we have hooks for different reasons for why it might wake up from sleep, so users can program in their own hooks for different reasons from waking from sleep. And then also, we helped submit bug reports for this issue where if your phone was in sleep mode, you would have issues with picking up SMS. And then finally, we have a new idle sleep functionality where if the phone is idle for a little bit, it will automatically go into sleep. So this saves the user from manually switching on and off the sleep. The power management script is great. I can finally use a deep sleep mode, which extends the battery life of a device like the PinePhone quite a bit.
So I mentioned hooks on the previous slide, but what exactly are hooks? Hooks are user-defined scripts that get run every time an event happens. So for example, we have a SMS hook. And what the SMS, every time you get an SMS, the SMS hook will get run. And by default, SXMO will play a sound, I think, and vibrate. I've changed that to send the contact name and the text to my XMPP account. And I just find that much less distracting and much more usable. But in the newest version of SXMO, what we have is a new script called, or a new hook called check state mutexes. So recall on the previous slide, I mentioned that SXMO, after a couple of seconds of being idle, will try to suspend. Now, before it tries to suspend, it will run this hook. And in this hook, the user can define various conditions for which the phone should not go into suspend. So recall in suspend, you will not have audio output through the audio jack, and you won't have Bluetooth, you won't have Wi-Fi. Now, if you're SSH'd into your phone and not touching the screen constantly, your phone will think, oh, I'm idle, I'm going to go into suspend, and that's very problematic. So what we do here is we have a condition to check, hey, if SSH is active, then SSH is connected, do not go into suspend, according to this. Most SXMO users will be using MPD, and this condition will check if a song is playing in via MPC. Now, this is another design goal of SXMO. For sway, foot, sway bar, what we do as a project is define sane defaults for mobile devices, and we allow users to customize them endlessly. And most of these conditions are written out by the project. So this active SSH condition will come when you install SXMO as well as playing MPC. But of course, the user can add their own conditions. So I don't like my phone going into suspend when I'm meditating. So I added this condition right here to check if the timer script is running, and that basically tells SXMO, hey, don't go into suspend. He wants to keep time of something. So the goal is to bring freedom to more devices. And here is the PineNote which is an e-reader with an e-ink display running the SXMO stack. So it's running the gesture system. By the way, the gesture system, you can customize what each of the gestures do and run different commands. And it's running Sway, as well as SXMO utilities. So you can use the app menu as you would on the PinePhone. And again, you can use all of the stuff. Most of the stuff actually works out of the box. So here's external, and we're going to try to draw on this beautiful new, and it's going to work beautifully. Now, a little bit note about more device support. It's always a work in progress, and we are willing to change some parts of the SXMO code. So for example, to get it working on the PineNote, we had to minimize the amount of redraws the status bar does, but that helps both PinePhone users because there's less CPU computation, as well as PineNote users.
And here we're going to draw on the new with the pen. And as you can see, drawing just works as it would on a desktop. And you get to use all the free software and the freedoms that you enjoy on your desktop or laptop. Next, I want to demo Zathura, which is a PDF reader. Unfortunately, a lot of modern ebook e-readers have DRM. And here we're going to demo Zathura just reading a PDF. And Zathura is known for being keyboard centric, but we have a context menu. So if Zathura is open, if you swipe down from the top, it'll show options that you can set in Zathura, as well as a swipe gesture across the top will change the screen brightness. So let's target another app that the SXML community is very proud of. And here is an app called Meepo, which was developed by the former maintainer of SXML, Miles Allen. And it's an OpenStreetMap viewer. So as you can see, panning around, it's very fast, especially for how detailed OpenStreetMap usually is. Another advantage of Meepo is it's online and offline. So you can download these tiles and look at them offline as well. You do not need an internet connection to use Meepo. Now, imagine I'm in this area and I want to look for restaurants nearby. So Meepo will only search what's in the frame. So it will only search for restaurants within the area that's displayed here. And what I'm going to do is search for restaurants nearby my center point. It will highlight all the restaurants with blue pins, and tapping around, it will show you the distance in the top left, as well as other information about whether there's outdoor dining, their phone number, what kind of cuisine it is, as well as the website. This information, I believe it's gotten from OpenStreetMaps, but we're trying to use as much free and open information that we can to develop SXML and Mobile GNU Linux. So as you can see, I'm trying to zoom out so that I can get the Scarborough Bluffs in frame because I know they're further away. And touch support in Meepo still needs some work. That wasn't Sway or SXML, but that was just Meepo. And and that is definitely an accessibility concern. And accessibility in SXML generally needs more work. And I do have an issue open up for that. And I'm still finding time to work on it. But regardless, if I search for the Bluffs, I can get turn-by-turn navigations and the same pinning system that was used for the restaurant. Now, a little bit note about the pinning system. It's completely scriptable and hackable, just like everything else in Meepo. Yeah, and this is one of the most promising projects that the SXML community has developed, and I'm very excited to use it as a replacement for Google Maps.
So modem support has improved a lot in the latest versions of SXML. We now have MMS support, so you can send and receive MMS, as well as we have visual voicemail support. Basically, what that allows you to do is have a list of your voicemails and you can press play on each one of them or delete them as you wish. This is much better than a robocall system where you have to call in and then press DM, like those tones and like press numbers. That's annoying. Visual voicemail is amazing. And then also we've gained Pipewire support. So the reason for this is we can support this program called Call Audio D. Call Audio D is on the Mobian namespace. And basically what Call Audio D does is it's an abstraction layer for audio routing on GNU Linux phones. So for example, right now what we have to do, since we're using Pure Alsa for Call Audio, we have to write a C program for each device we want to support. And currently the only device we support calls on is the PinePhone. Now Call Audio D, what it supports is it supports the PinePhone Pro, as well as the Librem 5. So by working on this Pipewire support, we can support all those three devices, as well as Pipewire is required for better Bluetooth on mobile. And a lot of users, you know, they expect Bluetooth on their mobile devices, and I'm happy to work to achieve that so that more users can use SXML on their phones. Another reason we want to support Pipewire is it allows for what people consider niche use cases. So right now, you know, if your phone gets hacked, basically they can listen to everything you do all day. If we get Pipewire support, and currently if we add Bluetooth routing to Call Audio D, what we could do is we could say, hey, if you're worried about that, we want to support you. And what you can do is you can open the backup of the PinePhone, switch the dip switch to off position for the microphone, and then you can use a Bluetooth headset as your microphone. And of course, as long as it's in the casing, it can be off, but you can also use, you know, wired headset in the headphone jack. These privacy first considerations are things that we want to support in SXMO and something we want to support users doing with SXMO.
So another one of my favorite features on SXMO is SSH is a first class citizen. So here I am on my GNU Linux desktop, and if I just SSH into my PinePhone, I can run SXMO app menu, and I'll get presented the same menu that I would on my mobile device, but this is ncurses. So for example, I can control my Bluetooth devices. Here I have my Bluetooth earbuds. By the way, on the latest version of SXMO, we've done a complete reboot of Bluetooth devices. I can pair the device, trust it, etc., etc. I can also pair new devices from here. So this is sort of helpful if you want to SSH into another device and connect to a Bluetooth speaker. So SXMO utilities are useful across the board for this. The other thing is I can also access telephony through here, most notably texts. So if I open up texts here, I can get a list of all the contacts I've messaged. I'm going to blank out the screen here, but I'm going to just select one of them. And as you can see, we've been exchanging some texts back and forth. This is my test number, and I just sent them, hey, how are you? And it seems like he's not really responding. So what we're going to do is we're going to send him a text via this interface. Hey, please respond. I want to know how you're doing. So here I'm using Vim, but you can use a better text editor like Emacs or literally any text editor on GNU/Linux. So if I just send this to them, we can do MMS attachments, but this is fine, just a plain text text. And yeah, so this will send the text and then notify you if it's successfully sent the SMS. Also, it plays a nice little notification sound that you guys just heard.
So mobile is a crucial battleground for free software. And what made me realize this was a blog post by Luis, who is the author of GNU Health. And he was running GNU Health on SXMO. And he was like, hey, this works great. And I'm finding it very useful. And truly vulnerable people depend on their mobile devices for stuff like communicating with their doctor. And we need to provide an ethical alternative, right? Because health data is super valuable and data miners everywhere want to get their hands on it. And free software is what needs to be absolute in the healthcare industry. And we need to articulate our ideas well as show them a valuable alternative. So another project I want to see is GNU Teller. I've been trying to carve out a weekend to work on a GNU Teller client. But again, this is something where it's very valuable data and people expect to do this with their phones. And then finally, it's increasingly impossible to find a non-smart television or dishwasher. It's just going to be forced upon us, right? Because data is valuable. And then the cope will be, hey, it's absolutely crucial that your TV listens to you, even though a couple of years ago, TVs did not listen to you. And it's absolutely crucial that you buy a new dishwasher every single year, and dishwashers need to be insanely expensive, right? This is not far-fetched from what happened with mobile devices. And in order to avoid this, we need communal infrastructure that teaches people how to exercise their rights under the GPL, as well as other software licenses like Postmarket OS. And we need to support organizations that do community-oriented GPL enforcement, like the FSF and Software Freedom Conservancy. And by working together, we can prevent that IoT dystopia that Bradley talks about. So here are some things that SXMO has helped with improving on the GNU Linux desktop. Let's start off with Bluetooth support. We have submitted bug reports to Pipewire, as well as done testing for Pipewire. We also have better touch support in Sway and B menu and WL roots. This is courtesy of our co-maintainer, Stacey Harper. She did a lot of work with improving all these utilities to work with. And of course, like, this is not just something that you benefit from on a mobile device, right? A lot of laptops have touchscreen support. And then, of course, we have the new on-screen keyboards that were improved, SVKBD and VKBD, that can be used on touchscreen laptops. And then SXMO scripts carry over from desktops to mobile devices. But the main thing I want to drive home on this slide is we get to our free software world through Solidarity, right? So if you do a cost-benefit analysis of this, the cost is somewhat lower when we use free software on our mobile devices as well, like the same free software on our mobile devices as well as our desktops. Because you don't have to learn a completely new ecosystem or a new language. You can, like, the same things that you would do to hack on your desktop, you can do to hack on your mobile device. And moreover, the benefit doubles. Because now if you fix a bug, it's not only fixed on the device you're using, it's fixed on the desktop, as well as your laptop, as well as your mobile device. And then if we get SXMO running on, like, you know, a Tesla dashboard, we can get it even fixed on the Tesla dashboard. And of course, the Tesla dashboard, we would remove all the microtransactions and DRM, but getting ahead of myself. But yeah, working with the free software community that we benefit from helps everyone. So we're reaching the end of the presentation, and I anticipate questions about how this is for daily driving. Now, I daily drive SXMO for call and text. I know the three other maintainers also do. And according to the Pine64 survey, about 100 people have self-reported in a survey that they daily drive SXMO. I don't know about their needs exactly, but I would be lying if I said I've never dealt with issues with text and calling. I want to present a plan so that we can get to a place where I can wholeheartedly recommend SXMO as one of the most stable interfaces. And while we're at it, we can help the other, we can help Postmarket OS as well as the other user interfaces. So SXMO itself well to testing the mobile stack, right? We have hooks for everything, various wake-up reasons and such. The code is simple, and it works on new devices pretty much with a little bit of hacking, provided that the kernel is working. And this allows us to test a lot of devices as well as test new devices very easily. And of course, it supports Xorg because we still maintain DWM support, even though Sway is our main and it's lightweight. So I started working on this test suite to test SXMO, and the links are here. But the top link is basically you need a physical device to run SXMO, and it will go through test right now, just test screen rotation as well as texting, sending and receiving. I also have a demo there. But then we also have SXMO utils, which is basically our glue that ties the SXMO world together. And we want some tests in there so that they are run on every commit that we make to test for regressions. So the top one, we're probably going to throw that onto a Pine phone and just run that nightly. And then we have SXMO utils, and that should be run on every single commit. And it's done in SourceHut's continuous integration. So if you like SXMO and you feel like some part of it that you rely on for daily driving needs better stability, contribute a test. That will prevent us from introducing a regression.
So the source code, mailing list, bug tracker, and documentation for most of the source code that you saw today can be gotten from sxmo.org. Additionally, if you want to contribute to any of the features that I suggested throughout this presentation, whether it be the accessibility or the testing, device support, or better privacy through additional routing options, or just better, like if you saw something in the demo that you were like, oh, I could do that a bit better, feel free to reach out to us on #SXMO and #SXMO off-topic channels on OFTC. We're happy to discuss your approach and we'll be happy to review your code. And then postmarketos.org is a great resource
for porting your existing Android device that you have dusting away in a drawer to Postmarket OS, and as well as they have other documentation on how you can help free software on mobile GNU Linux. So throughout this presentation, I kind of wanted to emphasize that free software only gets better when we work together to improve it. If everyone just looks at the software and says, okay, I'll come back to it when it gets better, rather than working with it and improving it, it'll never get better. So what we need to do is be ideologically motivated and trust in our ideals in order to reach the free software utopia that we all want. And finally, down there is my information. You can visit my website as well as message me on IRC. And yeah, I think I have 10 minutes left. I'm more than happy to answer questions regarding SXMO or Postmarket OS to the best of my abilities. Thank you all very much for listening. And thank you, LibrePlanet, for having me.
Hello, LibrePlanet. We're back here. There was an excellent talk. I unfortunately am not able to watch all of it. I'm going to watch this again, but we have Q&A time here with Unjin. So I'm going to be taking some questions from the channel, and if we have more questions from the channel, please get them in the pipeline here. So the first question, what's the support like for learning models, quote unquote, for the curve relating remaining battery life to voltage? And it talks about Ubuntu 20.04 had this, and it was a very nice feature because the battery life indicator gets better over time as it learns.
So the algorithm we use is going into sys class power supply and then just like writing, like echoing out the percentage of the battery into the status bar. We don't really have anything on top of that. So whatever is implemented in the kernel, we just kind of show that in the status bar. I'm not sure if that's like the question that was being asked.
Well, I know that batteries, it's always, when you're down that 5% range, you really want to know if it's really at 5% or not. And some cheaper devices don't give you accurate information. So it's nice if, as you go through a charge restart charge cycle, it can learn from this particular battery and the electronics you're dealing with what it's like. And I know that's something I want. Everybody wants it. That's the mecca. And Hembling Green asks, Unjin, how closely do you work with the people who port SXMO to different platforms like Aran? Could you elaborate on the importance of accepting patches upstream?
Okay, so porting to different platforms. So what we target is Postmarket OS, and we have two branches for that, the stable and the edge. And we're kind of, our hands are kind of full with maintaining packaging for Postmarket OS. But I think SXMO has been ported over to Arch Linux ARM. And I think there were some patches that needed to be done in order, because Postmarket OS uses Muzzle instead of glibc. So we did accept a lot of patches to make sure that, to make sure SXMO does run with glibc as well as Muzzle. So we're okay with accepting patches for both, because I think in the end, like it actually makes the code better when we support both.
I think every time you port to someplace different, you find problems in your code, and it improves the code. I mean, you know, if you go from a 32-bit system to a 64-bit system, or, you know, other libraries, usually there'll be some problems, but you kind of go, you know, there was a problem here to begin with, and this makes it stronger. So I think that's good. Leah asks, Unjin, what are the options for docking a phone with SXMO and Postmarketos? Interested about docking situations.
Yeah, so Pine64 has this USB-C hub. So you, if you have a Pine phone, you can connect via USB-C, and you can get like an Ethernet port, a bunch of other USB ports, as well as like an HDMI port. So you can plug in like a mouse and keyboard, and then plug that up to a TV or a computer screen. And since we're using Sway, there's a lot of, the name escapes my mind, but there's this utility that allows you to switch screens very easily. And from what I've seen, just using Sway on a daily basis, the multi-head support on Wayland is much better than Xorg, especially in Sway. So I don't see like any issues with it. I think there's an issue open for like minor issues with convergence. I personally don't use it, but that is definitely like a use case we want to support.
So, because the follow-up to that, which I think you've answered here, though, how possible, feasible is it to get a docked PMOS phone with SXMO?
Yeah. My point is, like, it should be as easy as docking your laptop to a second screen. I don't see any reasons why you would have more issues than that.
So, Gnutu asks, how easy is SXMO to package?
So in terms of packaging, now here's the tricky part because I haven't done packaging for other distros, but we try to keep like the dependencies small, and in fact we want to even make like we want to split up SXMO's various stacks into even smaller dependencies. So for example, we would have an MMS package that you would install if you needed MMS support. So that would reduce the amount of burden it would require to port it to new distros, because you would only need to package a smaller subset of the dependencies. It should be trivial because most of it is just shell script. The useful part, most of it is just shell script. And then like we use Suckless utilities, which are pretty easy to compile. it shouldn't be too bad if you have Sway already packaged.
So how could one help the development without having a post-market OS supported device?
Right. So in terms of SXMO, most of the shell scripts and, like I said, the shell scripts and the utilities are useful on a desktop and a laptop. So you could just install it on your laptop or desktop and just hack away at it, adding features that you would want on a phone. And then, of course, we use Dino for XMPP and like all these other utilities that you use on your desktop or laptop, using those and contributing to those would help SXMO. Like, I'm kind of proud that SXMO is so minimal in that it kind of just lets you use the tools that you're familiar with on the desktop, because as the desktop improves, it improves mobile, and then as mobile improves, it improves the desktop. So yeah, just use free software. you will help SXMO.
very good. Yeah. Hamlin Green asks, how did you get started with PinePhone, PMOS, and SMO development, and when did you start helping out Miles with development of SMO and PMOS?
So in 2020, when the pandemic just started, I got the PinePhone, and then I was going down the stairs and I like fell, and then like my Android smashed into a million pieces. So before the PinePhone was just something I would hack around with, and then after that I was like, okay, I need to make this work for a daily driver. And I was using FDroid at the time, and I only installed apps from FDroid. But then I think I found Miles project, and it was just so easy to add features that I wanted. And it actually had some of the most reliable calls, which is the main thing I used my phone for. So I just started using that and adding features that I wanted. Hey,
just told us that you use your phone to talk on the phone.
Yeah. Crazy idea, but it had some of the, like, I just added features that I wanted, and then eventually I added a couple of features like the SSH functionality, and I was like, okay, now I can't go back to an Android. And then also, like, it was just so convenient to just SSH and read texts and reply to texts on my desktop that it was just not like, I'm not going back now. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah, I think you're living the dream on that, quite frankly. I think all of us are right there with you on it.
Yeah.
So How is it determined which user-created scripts are merged into the upstream project? For example, the alarm or YouTube DL script, dmenu scripts, and others.
Right. So like the issue is one person's bloat is another person's like crucial feature, and it's kind of hard to have that balancing act. We put in the YouTube scripts and all of those scripts because they're just sort of show like, hey, you don't need like to open up the YouTube webpage. You can just use like this script that we've made, and it's easy. Ideally, what we would do is move those to a separate package so that users can pick and choose. Like, we would have like a multiple, like a SXML full install, which has everything, and then like more and more minimal, so users can choose which level of bloat and feature they want. Also, we have SXML user scripts, and these are things like converting Android contacts to the contacts file that SXML uses. And I think there's like a workout app in there powered by vMenu that like manages your progression and everything. And those are mostly just apps that the community has just like, it's like a contrib folder in the project.
Well, this was an excellent talk, and we've reached the end of our time here, so I think we'll wrap it up here. I thoroughly enjoyed this myself, and of course, I'm going to have to go back and watch this through again. So thank you very much.
Thank you.